Research Center here on our campus, and all of these sessions are a production of CMI Audio Video Network System being brought to you this morning and in every session on the internet by Ustream and YouTube. So it's just good to be with you this morning. I currently find myself in a search just now that is just more than overwhelming. It has more than overwhelmed my theology. It has just overwhelmed my soul. The reality that the Spirit of God would show to us, in us, in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ is what I'm talking about. The gathering up, the summing up as to their substance and as to their comprehension in the person of Jesus Christ. I probably just left everybody behind. Not in the wrong way, but let me read to you where I am with that, and then you won't be behind anymore. Because I've been living here in the book of Ephesians, but then I probably as much in Colossians and as much in, you know, and then here you go, you find yourself just in the Word. Verse 9 and 10, having made known unto us the mystery. What I want to talk with, I'm just sitting right down there, I just wrote, the mystery of God, which is Christ. I don't know. Sometimes it helps me at least to focus upon something in one of these times of searching. And it has to do with beholding the Lord of glory. And much of my time has been spent in the scripture just with regard to that word as it is used throughout the Old and New Testament, and then realizing that that word comes to its actual and true substance, its ultimate substance, not in a place, but in a person, and that person being Christ. But now, what is our relationship to Him? What is our relationship to Him? I mean, He is what He is, whether we understand who and what He is or not, But what is our relationship to Him? Why should we, by the Spirit of God, have understanding concerning who He is? Well, because of our relationship with Him. But what is that relationship? I was certain that, you know, I don't know, 55 years ago or a good while ago, I understood that, but my, that understanding has been stretched and broken and into pieces and gathered up and stretched. Every time that the Father would bring in a clearer view of Christ, the Father would bring His heart into the matter, revealing Christ as the Father knows Him to be, not as we would try to picture Him through some theological belief, some theological doctrine, trying to fit our picture of Christ into that, but as the Father would show Him to be. An understanding that is given of God is an ever ongoing understanding in our soul. It has to be. It's called walking in the light as He is in the light. Well, at one time, I looked at that relationship and my, how that relationship has changed. And it was this morning that the thought hit me. The relationship has changed simply or profoundly, however you want to take this. The relationship has changed because there has in that relationship, in my mind, in my heart and soul, been come about a decrease of me even being in the picture. That's how the relationship has changed. At first, it really, even though it was in the seeing of Christ, now you got to listen to this, even though it was seeing Christ, Christ revealed in me, that relationship that I saw and still very much centered around me. My needs, spiritual needs. I won't sit here for 2 or 3 hours on that, but it very much did. And probably to a large degree still does. But I know this, there is a divine law in the Scripture that His increase automatically brings about my decrease. Now that's just the way it is. Light automatically decreases darkness, takes it away, does away, automatically. And the more that light shines, the surer it shines, the being filled with the fullness of God, being filled with that light, the substance of which is Christ Himself. God shining in our heart in the face of Jesus Christ. Always brings about a decrease of me. And see, therein lies the problem, at least with me. Because it doesn't just bring about a decrease of my theology. No, it brings about a recognized decrease of me. Now see, I know a lot of people that have no idea what I'm talking about, and many get upset about it. brings about a decrease of me. Now, honey, it's one thing for me to say, I'm dead, I don't remain, speaking the truth, speaking, but, you know, declaring them as a fact and all of that, and that actually being the acknowledgement of my soul in everything, in every place, and at all times. I'm talking about something that is alive and growing. An understanding, a knowledge, a comprehension given of God through the administrator of the fullness of the time. The Spirit of God. Taking that, Jesus says, of mine and showing it unto you. And as that, as he does that, some fragments of understanding, what we based as understanding, some of that fragmented is torn down. Ceases to fulfill. Found to be in part. And with the coming of the perfect, is done away. Not really even added to it, just done away. And a newness begins to come about in my heart. Well, for some period of time, there has been that working in my soul in a very specific way. In a way that, well, you're awakened to it. All of this started in a search that is very much still ongoing with me, and that is the just shall live by faith. Well, that's an ongoing statement. The just shall live by faith. How long? Forever. Where? In Christ. How great is that? In Christ. It gathers into itself all of eternity. In Christ. You would know the length, the depth, the breadth, the height of what? In Christ. Of Him. So the Lord began to challenge my heart on these things, and I would look at these verses, and that's the first thing, and I thought, oh my, because I was called back to all of these verses, and very quietly, but very positively, isn't this little thing sweet? It's one of our little ladybugs. Very quietly, but very positively, the Lord would say, just in my heart, just, do you know what that means? And point out a word, or point out a phrase, or point out something. Just, do you understand that? And when that ever starts with me, I think, uh-oh. Oh am I? This is the Lord. And I may as well just say, no, Lord, I don't. But if you will reveal your Son in my very heart and soul. But you better be willing. You just might as well get ready, hon, for a decrease in every way that you can possibly imagine it. With that increase of Him. Well, all right. I'm still very much in that place. But the Lord began to gather some of this together in my heart as to exactly what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to show regarding Christ, is trying to show of Christ Himself. And it doesn't mean that it's not saying that our understanding, if it is an ongoing walk in Christ, is all wrong. It isn't saying that at all, but it comes up short of the glory of God. It comes up short of perfection. Perfection is found in Christ Himself, seeing Him as He truly is. The problem is not that He is not who and what He is right now, and that He has not always been that, because He has always been that. And shall always be who He is. The problem, if you would call it a problem, the lack, is in my comprehension of Him. And that comprehension can come from no one less than the Spirit of God, the Father, Himself. No one else can reveal that Son, can show you His salvation. No one else. No one else. The just shall live by faith. That is to say, the just shall live in the knowledge, in the truth of the one who lives in them. The just shall live. The just shall walk, shall follow after the Spirit. The just shall be led by the Spirit. Where is it that the Spirit leads? He leads into the truth, as the truth is in Christ Jesus. The just shall live by faith. There is a reality of our salvation that simply cannot be understood by the natural mind, cannot be seen by the natural eyes or the natural ears. Honey, there is a whole realm called new creation that cannot be seen with the natural eyes. And the reality of that is it's not yet to come. It is now come in the person of Jesus Christ, who dwells in you. So I want to just look at some of this of our salvation, the mystery of God, which is Christ. And I want us to look at a picture, a diagram, and I want to ask a question concerning that. Just to kind of stir up our hearts, stir up our understanding. You're going to find that in every view of Christ, in the whole view of Christ, and every time we are turned to see Him, the cross is always the center. And I don't know whether you can sum the whole purpose of that up in this statement or not, but it's back to what I said. Every time you focus on Christ, there will be, in the increase of Him, an automatic, immediate decrease of you, of your thinking, of your knowing, of you. Think about this with me. If we understand the typology and the testimony that is given of God concerning His Son, with Israel entering into Canaan, then we will understand that primarily, the testimony there primarily is the Son Himself, the Son coming out of Egypt, the Son raised up in the power of His resurrection, the Son as the heavenly man possessing His inheritance, possessing what He has redeemed by His own blood, possessing it, filling it as it were with the presence, at least with the recognizable presence, making Himself known in all the land. The Son possessing the promised land, the place of the seed, the ground for the increase of the seed. Honey, it comes right down to your soul. Now we ought to know that. Comes right down to your soul. Now, if that is true, then just look at Israel going in to Canaan, because it's obvious that it is the Son. At that point in time, this is how the Father is dealing with Israel. He's dealing with them as a son. All right? With the coming of His fullness, in the land, there is an automatic decrease of everything, anything that is not Him in the land. Whether it's wrong thinking, wrong theologies, they make a difference. The increase of one brings about the decrease of the other until, in fact, the whole land is called Israel and not Canaan at all. Consequently, when we come to see Christ, it's always in view of the cross. Now, all these things we should know, all these things should not be new to us. I'm simply just bringing this to our remembrance or to our thoughts. Now, let me put a little diagram up here. Now, this isn't going to be new at all, either. We always use a square on this side to represent the old creation, the old covenant, sin, whatever, the old, Adam, the old, all gathered up. And this whole thing, dead in sin. Now, we'll go over here many times and we'll put different things over here in reference to the old. Sometimes we'll put the second, the new, but I want to put here one new man. One new man. Not 25 new men. One new man. Well, then here is the question. How do I, come from here to here? How do I come from here to here? I don't. I never get beyond the cross. I never get farther than the cross. Now, I might just let everybody think about that. But Christ does. He is the resurrection and the life. Now see, we know all these things. We just roll out of our... We know all these things. We think we do. And we've got a theology that, you know, pretty sound in them. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about you. You're sitting in front of me. I'm talking about we, Christianity, many who are actually learning Christ. But I tell you, hon, one of the biggest dangers is to camp out, to set it up, camp out, on any concept of theology. As you have received Christ the Lord, so walk you in Him. I mean, you're not going to fall out of Christ over this. But you can get yourself into a lot of perversion over it if you're not very, very careful. Hon, I've got good friends that have done that and that are still doing it. Do any of us believe that in your mind, believe that I live here on over here, that I live here? Just, you know, me living without sin. A lot of Christianity does, and they'll go on, me, you know, us living in a state of grace, us living in a state of forgiveness, and then one day we'll really come into full salvation and we'll be in a place called heaven. And all of that. Darling, this whole search that I'm on is bringing all of that to be summed up in Him right now. Right now. The only trip that I'm ever going on, the only trip that I'm ever taking or ever will take is walking in the light as He is in the light. Growing up into Him who is the head in all things. That's trip enough. That is an eternal journey in truth. In light, in life, in glory. That is, my friends, living by faith. That's what that is. But it's going to lead you to an ever-increasing view of the Lord Jesus Christ, an ever-increasing view. I don't think there's any good examples of this or analogies of it or anything, but I have thought here over the last few days that it's rather like seeing Him afar. Not seeing Him as though He's not come, but just my view of Him, seeing Him afar. And then the farther we walk or walk toward Him, and this is so in anything, and it may not even hold water, but I was thinking about it, you know, the larger He gets, and He isn't getting any larger, but the larger He gets because I'm closer to Him. And pretty soon I'm just standing there face to face. But then you see, my Lord, do you think that the knowing of Him would even stop then? Absolutely not. Not telling you Christ is changing. but our view of Him. And that's really what the Scripture means. I know what the church world makes of, in the day that we see Him as He is. Well, they try to make a calendar date out of that and an event out of that. It's what I'm talking about. Ever ongoing seeing Him as He is. And you're not going to get that done at any one time. Our kind of time. Because God is showing us something in His kind of time. His kind of time is eternity, and it's always now. And we can't take that. Because we are souls being transformed. Being transformed into an earthly or into a heavenly. And bearing the heavenly even as we have borne the earthly. It should be a joyous thing, a thing of putting off and putting on. A thing of knowing Him. And growing up in Him. Not a thing of trying to get Him in me. He's in me. And this search with me at least is going toward what I've got them stacked up everywhere. But something of the reality of being in Him. A place where we were chosen of God from before the foundation of the world. And yet know very little or nothing about it. Because how can you know what it is to be in Him except by the knowing of Him? When He who is our life shall appear, then shall ye appear with Him in glory. Then our union with Him, and the word there is, becomes apparent. Yes, it does. And then comes the word perfect, perfect, perfect. He is that. But Paul turns right around and says, yet don't, not I. I am yet knowing Him. I yet desire to know Him perfectly. I think that's what he's saying. I desire to know as I'm known. I want to know that one who is perfect, perfectly. And he clearly says, I have not yet attained. But he doesn't say, well, my. He says, what shall I do? I shall forget that which is behind. I honestly can't tell you all that means. But I think that forgetting is worked in us with the coming of the new. And we just let it go, so to speak. And that's not an act of humanity or an act of anything, it is just the willingness of the heart. Forgetting and pressing on. If that is not our life in Christ, what is it? If that is not living by faith, what is it? And what are we all about if it isn't knowing Him and growing up in Him? How is a better way to say that? I think a better way that I say it or could say it is the purpose is that He who is the glory of God shine fully, have full shining, in my soul that he who sitteth upon the throne be fully exalted in my soul. That he who is the living, eternal, ever-transforming Word of God be revealed in me. Well, all right, back to what I'm talking about here. How do I come from here, from this side to the other side? I don't. I get no further than the cross. But Christ does. He's the resurrection and the life. Now, Hunt, the Old Testament, and it's reflected over into the New Testament in the Gospel where Jesus is talking to the Old Testament and Old Covenant Jews. So this is reflected over there too. But the resurrection is very much a subject set forth in Israel. A promised resurrection. I mean, it's said in several different ways in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. It is a tearing down and a building up. It is a taking away and a coming forth over and over. But it's resurrection. That's what it's talking about. Even the going into the Babylonian captivity, even coming out of the wilderness, was a testimony of resurrection. The first died, the second comes forth. On and on and on. Well, who is that talking about? Who, in fact, is the promised resurrection and life? Who? Christ is. Now, real quickly. He is that. He is that. With or without, you are me. He is not dependent upon me to be who he is, son. But I am absolutely dependent upon him to be who he is. See, Christians think, not just Christians, not just, you know, the traditional Christianity, or whatever we want to call it, the church world, the religious world, Christian religion, have come to the point that they think the resurrection of the dead is actually the dead getting up. They look for an effect instead of the source. The substance. The resurrection of the dead is Christ himself. If he be not raised, then the dead rise not. If he be not the resurrection and the life, you and I have no life. So I'm telling you again, how do I get from here to here? I don't. Because here, it's Christ living. We read that, but I don't think it ever gets past the hardness of my skull down into the middle of my soul. We quote, "Not I, but Christ liveth in me." And then in our own heart and soul, we actually think we're living here. That it's me living. I'm raised up. I'm this. I'm that. Christ is my life. We say a whole lot of things, and I begin to, and the Lord begin to take me to verses. Just take me to them. And something, you ought to see this Bible. I'm going to have to get another one just like it, I guess. Because I would look at that, and the Lord would, just in my heart, "Do you know what that is saying? Do you know what that means?" And I understand. I mean, I know what I do. I'm just, you know, I'm... I know what I do. I do a, you know, I look at all the dictionaries. I look at all the Greek and Hebrew words. I look at all of that. I get all the different translations. I pile them up. If you've come in my office in the last, or Hawaii, in the little work area that I work in there, you'll have seen things stacked up everywhere. Because I've read them all and gone through it all. And when it was all over, it was just over. And I'm not saying that it doesn't, at least, I don't know, it seems to help me to do that. But there's a time that the only understanding, what does that mean, is in seeing it in Christ. And sometimes, I guess, in looking throughout the Scripture for that and following that throughout the Scripture, our mind, our heart, our soul maybe, looks here at one place. For instance, I'm going to read you two or three places here. And you think, "Oh my God. Surely, I mean, how can there still be something here that I haven't read?" And there may not be. But reading it with understanding, very likely there's a whole lot still there. I mean an understanding, a new understanding, a greater understanding, a clearer understanding. Where it is speaking of Christ Himself. I don't know. But I want to show you something here. Our time is about gone. Maybe I was going to read Ephesians 2, 10 through 18. Because this is all the cross. So if we read Ephesians, so let's look at it. Ephesians 2, 10 through 18. Now, I can't tell you how many times that I've read it or how many times you've read it or all of that, but here it is. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Now, hon, that's a whole new creation. How much do you know about that? How much do I truly understand? Created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Man was created in the world. A creation of dirt, an earthly creation, an earthly man. What kind of a creation is this talking about? In Christ. Oh, yes. See, that's where the whole thing is. is centered in my heart, the actuality of it is, what does it really mean to be in Christ? Now, I know we are only in Christ by virtue of Christ being in us. It means being in union with Christ. But what does that really mean? The natural mind has led a lot of precious believers and a lot of good-meaning ministries into perversion by trying to see themselves in Christ as Christ and all of this, and here they go. But you see, hon, that's because they never get truly nailed there to the cross in Christ. They don't go there. So here they are over here living in Christ. But you see, there's no one living in Christ but Christ Himself. I mean, when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death. When we're baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, buried, I mean, that means put out of sight, buried. You ever think about that? The whole answer here to the Jew and the Gentile, which pretty well sums up everybody, His workmanship, the whole answer to that and the whole creation, that workmanship is a creation in Christ, you have to go on and read. Verse 13, but now in Christ, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood. Enter the cross. Enter baptism into His death by the blood. For He is our peace. Not peace between the Jew and the Gentile, first and foremost. Peace with God. And we find that if we are at peace with God, then we're at peace with one another. Because in order to be at peace with God, we must be dead with Christ. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. And raised again in newness of life, which means very simply and yet very profoundly, not I, Christ living in me. For He is our peace. Look, who hath made both one. How did He do that? Made both one and hath broken down. He didn't sit down and talk it down. He didn't know, oh, I'm going to go through all of that. Broken down. Verse 15, having abolished it. I mean, who hath made both one? How are you going to make two one? Give me that hammer. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to bust it all to pieces, ground it up in little pieces, and then I'm going to blow it all away. I mean, you're going to make two become one, and you're going to start out with a big hammer and break it all down. And then, now you know this is talking about the cross, huh? And then, hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Between us has been added there, so, and it's better you just leave it alone. Having abolished in his flesh, abolished, and go with that word. This is what I'm telling you, sweetheart. I do not get beyond this cross. Except in the imagination of my religious mind that says, well, you didn't really die, he just died so you are whatever, and here we go. But that's not true. That is not true. Raven and I were doing a Monday night open forum here a while back, and I was reading a manuscript sent to us from a friend of mine. And there's some questions here, and one of the questions was, how can two be one and yet remain two? And it goes on talking about that, but that's the primary. How can two be one and yet remain two? And, well, the answer to that is they can't. That little question is a mystery, but it's a mystery only until you see the only one remaining. And you realize there is just one. There is just one. That kind of misunderstanding leads to this kind of a misunderstanding. The living God and the living Christ and I actually become one person, functioning as one person. Separation is impossible. It has disappeared. We function entirely and forever and naturally as one person, yet we remain two. Now see, how does that work? It doesn't work. You remove me out of the equation. By the cross. The natural mind will weary itself to death over what I've just said. Just got through saying, weary itself to death. It is kind of, I got to get me in there somehow. I mean, what about my salvation? How am I even saved? You're saved because the one who remains lives in you, in your soul. You're saved because of who he is, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. You're saved, hon, because it's not you, but Christ who liveth in you. But that's got to be more than a fact. That's got to be the condition of the understanding, of the comprehension, of the faith of my soul. Now, time's gone. Let me read one more of these deals over here. You would go from this, Ephesians, go all the way through this. It goes down through 18. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that's just Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's not saying, I give you permission to go to the Father, or I show you how to get there, or I show you the way to his house. No, he says, I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that day, he goes on to tell them, you'll know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. But this is something, honey, that our soul has to be awakened to by the Spirit of God revealing the person, the one who lives. The natural mind is going to start trying to figure out things like how can I be Christ and not really Christ? I mean, how can I be one with Christ and yet be separate from Christ? Well, you can't. But the Scripture is not about that. The Scripture is about Christ living in you. You'll see the same thing in Philippians, the third chapter. You'll see the same thing in the book of Colossians. And it's really interesting here, so I'm going to have to save this because I don't want to run by it. I don't want to run by it. This has got to take us to the book of Isaiah and to the book of Ezekiel and into other good places. Look at verse 9 of Colossians 2. And then we'll come back to it. I just want you to look at it. It won't hurt you to look at it, and then you can read that whole chapter. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality. It starts out highly exalting him, and so it should. But then look how it never stops exalting him, but look how that starts out, and then, well, let's just glance over to verse 20. You can read from verse 11 or 10 and see how we got to verse 20, but let's just look at verse 20. Wherefore, look what it says about you and I. If ye be dead with Christ. From the rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to... And then he goes on. You be dead with Christ. See, hon, the whole thing of salvation is not me learning how to do good things, how not to do bad things, how to do this, how not to do that. The whole thing bases upon... I'm dead, and he lives in me. Not as a fact, but as a living reality in my soul. Not as learning a theology about that, but as learning him, knowing him, and growing up in him. God is not after, and this just come to my mind, you probably just discredit it, but God is not after well-trained dead men. If you're dead, you're dead. He is after those who have no life but Christ and know it. And know it. And are directed by it. Led, guided by it. Growing up in that reality. All right, we'll stop here. The mystery of God, which is Christ. Now that mystery, hon, has been revealed, but it has been revealed even in the epistles of Paul. It says it has been revealed to those who are seeing Christ, to those who are knowing Him. Still a mystery to the natural mind. And what complicates sometimes, maybe it shouldn't, but it does, the scripture, particularly the epistles, is because we try to understand statements spoken out from a mystery revealed. We try to understand them with a natural mind to whom the whole thing is still a mystery. Father, thank you today for your grace. If there be hearts that are turned to see, oh Father, if there be hearts that are turned to see, reveal thy Son. Reveal thy Son. Enlighten the eyes of understanding. Set our heart to know Him. Set our hearts to know Him. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for being with us today. All of you who are with us wherever we are finding you, And wherever you are finding us, let's trust that we find each other in Christ Jesus. Thank you very much. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know. Thank you for your help to us. We appreciate your giving. We appreciate your financial support. We appreciate you enabling us not to simply maintain the status quo, but to increase the outreach of this gospel. I went into this year believing that the Lord was going to lead us definitely to a direction to do that, to a medium in which we can do that, give us a way by which that could be done, and I am sure that He will. I'm confident that He will. That we have an extended outreach, an increased outreach from this place with this gospel throughout the body of Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord will lead us, guide us inwardly, and direct us outwardly toward that very thing. Thank you for your support and your help and your prayers. Amen. And amen.